Here's a fascinating story. In the early 80s, on a remote part of the Sudanese coast, a new luxury holiday resort opened for business. Catering for divers, it attracted guests from around the world. And it was relatively successful. A lovely place to dive, by all accounts. And little did they know, though, that the staff were all undercover spies working for Mossad, the Israeli secret service. Fascinating story. And to tell us about it, a new book has been brought out by Rafi Berg called Red Sea Spies, who joins us now. Morning, Rafi.
Good morning.
It's kind of, I always say with these kind of things, it almost could be a film, but of course in this case it already has been.
Well, the answer to that is yes and no. You're absolutely correct. There was a Netflix movie which was released last year, and that gives you an idea of what went on. But the Netflix movie, I have to make clear, and with credit to the movie, it does describe itself as inspired by real events.
So
not based on, but inspired. If you want the full account of what exactly went on, that's what my book covers.
Interesting. And this is a story which, I guess for obvious reasons, wasn't kind of blasted around the world. I mean, I confess, I'd never heard of this, but I guess for good reason.
Yes, again, you're right. Because of secrecy rules surrounding Mossad operations, as one can imagine, these things are not allowed into the public domain, not for at least 30 years. And even after that, only fragments are released to inquiries or to the public or to journalists if they want to do investigations. So it's taken a long time to come out. But I have to say, when I first stumbled across this story, I mean, that's how all great stories begin.
Yeah.
Accidentally find something. It just blew me away. I've been a journalist for 25 years and I've covered every kind of story, intrigue that you can imagine. This, I've never come across anything like it, which is why I realised very early on, my gosh, this has got to get out. I've got to write a book on this and share it.
Absolutely. Operation Brothers is what we're talking about, which dates back to 77, in fact, and the election of Prime Minister Menachem Begin. And this reports were coming into Israel that Ethiopian Jews had started fleeing the civil war and famine, many of them neighbouring to Sudan. That's, and they were being housed there in refugee camps. That's the kind of beginning of the story, isn't it?
Yeah, well, more or less. I have to make it clear. When, in the case of refugees, broadly speaking, you're right. There was an exodus of refugees from Ethiopia. They were fleeing civil war, drought, and eventually, ultimately, famine. The Ethiopian Jews are a special case.
Mm-hmm.
They eventually made their way from Ethiopia by foot to Sudan because they heard that there was a gateway which had been opened by subterfuge that would lead them on to, in their minds, the land of Israel. They were fixated with returning to their ancestral homeland. So whereas the general population of refugees were fleeing civil war, the Jews were on the move for a very different and one could describe it as noble reason.
Yes, and interesting distinction. So the story was that Begin summoned the then head of the Mossad to see if they could help them, and how they helped them is just incredible.
It's unbelievable. No small task.
No.
You're a Mossad agent and you're commissioned to bring the Jews of Ethiopia to Israel. Now, for your audience, I have to make the point that in those days, slightly changed these days, but in those days, Sudan, where the Ethiopian Jews were languishing in refugee camps, was an enemy country of Israel. So it's not the kind of thing they could just call up the Sudanese authorities and say, hey, can you help us get some of your refugees out? No. This is why the Israeli state unprecedentedly called upon the Mossad to carry it out, because it's the only agency which had possibly had the capability of doing it. And this whole thing began with one cryptic letter which came from a Jewish refugee in Khartoum, in hiding. The guy was a fugitive. The letter landed on the desk of the Mossad, and that's what kicked it off.
Amazing. Incredible. And it just so happened that they were looking for locations where the Israeli Navy could pick up groups of these Ethiopian Jews and transport them, and they found the perfect place just by chance.
That's right. Again, you know, they stumbled across it. They were looking for a bay, a landing spot where they could bring in Israeli Navy SEALs by dinghy under the cover of darkness. And they happened to chance across an abandoned resort. So this place is in the middle of nowhere. It ran in the early 1970s. It was built by a couple of Italian anthropological twins.
There's right.
a story in itself, a backstory.
Yeah.
It functioned for a few years, but they couldn't. Eventually, it wasn't viable because there was no infrastructure, there was no roads, there was no electricity, so on and so forth. They shut it down. The Mossad found this abandoned resort. They masqueraded as a European tourism company, leased it from the Sudanese authorities, giving them the excuse that they wanted to recommission this resort. They spent about $100,000 refitting it, and they turned it into a Club Med-style resort.
Amazing.
And the point you made earlier on, they operated by day as staff at the resort. It was very successful. One year it turned a profit. Guests came from around the world. Ordinary people, the likes of you and me, diving enthusiasts and holiday makers. Not only that, top diplomats, the American ambassadors to Sudan, the Egyptian ambassador, ambassadors of countries which were at war with Israel, they would take their vacations there. By day, they would be catered by the Mossad staff, and by night, the Mossad agents would go off into the desert, carry out their, for want of a better description, their people smuggling operations to remove the Jews from the refugee camps, smuggle them across to the coast. The Navy SEALs would come and collect them. The agents would go back to the resort and carry on as if nothing had happened.
It really is unbelievable. It's literally from under their noses, isn't it?
They did. Absolutely right. They operated in the most dangerous, I mean, it sounds, you know, fantastic, and the kind of thing that anybody would love to take part in, given half the chance, but it was unbelievably dangerous. There's one scene in the movie where the guy who plays the head of the division which commanded this operation, he's talking to the agents at Mossad HQ in Tel Aviv, and he warns them that if they're captured, they'll be hanged in a public square in Khartoum. And that's actually accurate. That is what they were told. In researching this book, I met many, many participants, Mossad agents, Navy SEALs, Ethiopian refugees. One of the things that was verified was the agents were warned that this could be a one-way trip.
Quite extraordinary. And so, as you've alluded to there, the people who were visiting the resort, I mean, I've dived in the Red Sea. It's a lovely place to go diving. You would have no clue that the people who were out there, you know, holding your hand with your scuba equipment were from Mossad.
That's right. I managed to track down some of the guests, and we're talking about brief spells, brief holidays that people took 40, 35 years ago. They remembered being at this place, and now I told them when I was speaking to them over the phone that, look, I've got something to tell you. Those fit, well-toned, athletic diving instructors weren't quite who they made out to be. They were Mossad agents. Well, the former guests who I revealed that to, they were just blown away. And they were tremendously excited because, you know, having discarded this as a piece of history in their own lives, suddenly they realised that they had actually played a part in history themselves.
Absolutely. And they never got found out, though. There was one occasion with a Canadian guest who just happened to be Jewish who complained that they couldn't possibly be Europeans because only the Israelis cut their salad vegetables so thin for breakfast.
Yes, I traced this particular person.
Brilliant.
He told me his story, what happened, and I got it verified by one of the agents whom he confronted on a boat. They took the, so imagine he's a guest there. He's taken out to sea for it for a diving excursion, and he has put some clues together, and it dawns on him that, you know, these just aren't ordinary people. These are Mossad agents. He had an inkling because he was actually a volunteer worker in refugee camps. So on his way home, he stopped off, stayed at the village. He confronted one of the agents and said, "Look, guys, or look, you know, I know what you're doing." And he spoke to him in Hebrew. Now, of course, the agents were forbidden to speak a word of Hebrew while they were there. So this guy speaks Hebrew to one of the agents on the boat. The agent, you know, he's caught off guard. He says, "Yes, it's true, but, you know, you're not allowed to say anything about it."
Wow.
The Canadian guy was taken back to shore. He was questioned. He was, when I say he was warned, he wasn't threatened, but he was warned in no uncertain circumstances not to breathe a word of it. And he kept it to himself. So for the next few years, the operation continued. He knew he was sitting on a massive secret. You know, with all due credit to him, he kept quiet about it.
My goodness, that's extraordinary. The whole thing could have unraveled at that moment, couldn't it?
There were many, many, many occasions where the entire operation could have been scuppered. So many times it was balancing on a knife edge, moment after moment after moment, when the cover story was almost exposed, but, you know, something intervened, and they managed to pull it off unbelievably successfully.
Wow! And do we know how many they managed to get out?
Yes, we do. The Mossad themselves smuggled out about 7,000 refugees.
Incredible.
While they were operating the diving resort. Overall, the Operation Brothers, which as you correctly termed it, that was the first in a series of operations.
Yep.
There were some subsequent operations, and overall, the Israelis, including the Mossad, managed us to take out from Sudan and later on from Ethiopia nearly 30,000.
Quite extraordinary. Quite extraordinary. What a story. And I'm guessing that once it was over, who called a halt to the whole thing?
Okay, so in April 1985, there was a coup, a popular-backed coup in Sudan. The president, Numeri, was overthrown. So anybody who was associated with the government, that includes the intelligence services, so on and so forth, they were basically put under arrest and interrogated by the new authorities.
Right.
Now, in order to save, one person came forward in order to save his own skin. He said, "Look, guys, if you let me go, I can tell you a huge secret." This guy knew about Mossad agents, not at the resort, but who were operating separately in Khartoum. Information got back to Mossad in Israel. They felt that the resort was going to be compromised, and so immediately they told their agents there to evacuate, and they did in dramatic fashion. But once they left, there were still guests at the hotel. So the guests woke up the next day and the staff were gone.
God, incredible. I'm assuming that was over then. It never did business ever again after that.
Well, the Israelis certainly, they didn't relaunch it. They didn't need to.
They moved
on to other methods. The operation didn't end with that, but you moved on to other methods.
Yeah.
However, subsequently, over a period of time, other companies did try to relaunch this resort with
the
most remarkable history. They couldn't make a go of it. So for the past decade, it's still standing, it's still there. It's a complex of about 15 villas, but for about the past decade, it's stood once again abandoned.
Well, it certainly comes from the "you couldn't make it up" department, Rafi. Thank you very much for talking about it. Your book has a lot more detail than we have time to talk about today. It's called Red Sea Spies. Rafi Berg, the author. Appreciate your time today, Rafi. Have a great day.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Take care. Bye-bye.